only. The views and opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You are listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at kfarradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I'm your host, David Pruse. If you have a question for today's guest, he's calling in from the lower 48. So we have an issue with him hearing your phone calls, and so I'll try and, if you do call in, I'll try and abbreviate your question or your thought or your topic. But that's just the North Korean equipment that Perry Wally makes me work under. These are this horrible, horrible working conditions, but we will get through them. And today we have a guest calling in. His name is Will Witt, and he is the owner-operator of the Florida Standard newspaper. Will, how you doing, sir?
I'm fantastic. How are you doing?
Doing well. Doing well. We, facetiously, we have some North Korean equipment here, and the call-in line of people does not, you're not going to be able to hear that. They haven't fixed it yet. I've only been asking for about 2 months now, but what the heck? Anyway, you are coming up next week for an event, and that's why you're on the phone here with me. We're circulating the event, trying to get some good traction for it. And why don't you describe the event?
Well, I'm going to be coming up to Alaska for the first time. I've never been before, so quite excited for that, even though I do indeed hate the cold. That's why I live in Florida. Moved out of Colorado to live in Florida because I can't stand it. But the event is going to be something I think that the people of Alaska might not have necessarily heard before. I don't know how many conservative political commentators and people like that are really coming up to that state to come and speak to people and share the message about what's happening in this country, especially in a place like Florida where I live, where there's so many exciting things happening with Governor DeSantis and all the new legislation and the freedom that's happening here. I really want to come up and show how America can get out of the rut that I think that we're in, how young people can achieve meaning in their lives again, and how America is going to be saved by individuals who become heroes in a world that seems to be quite despondent and against them. So I'm quite excited to be in Alaska.
And it's a dinner next Wednesday, I believe, or Thursday, I'm sorry, May 11th, at Pike's Waterfront Lodge. And who's putting it on?
I believe the Alaska Family Council is the name of the group.
Yes, it is. A very, very good group out there, conservative. They go for conservative education of items, and a very good group, very good group. So you started, though. What really caught my attention at one of my favorite locations, Prager University. So this is sort of exciting for me. I've never, personally talked with anyone, from or who was with them. And you're at a young age, and you were, you're 26 years old, and you were with them for 5 years. So let's go back to the beginning. How did you end up working at and with and for Prager University?
Well, it was a shock to me as much as it was to everyone else. I was in college, and growing up my entire life, I was a liberal atheist type of person. I never was really too interested in politics, except for the fact that I thought Obama was pretty cool because he was black, and of course the world was burning, and we needed someone to come and save it from climate change, and these kind of issues. All the polar bears were dying, right? And
we've heard that up here.
Yeah, I'm sure you have. Turns out there's actually more polar bears now than when they made those predictions.
Yeah.
Regardless, I got to college and everything changed. I remember being in my sociology classes. I was an English major, which was a useless major at the time, and sociology class, useless class. And my teacher was telling us all about how bad capitalism was and how bad white people were. And she pointed at me. There was a black girl sitting next to me. And she said, "You are oppressing this girl because of the color of your skin." And that
wow.
was shocking to me.
Wow.
Because I grew up in a high school where I was the minority as the white guy.
Yeah.
There was a bunch of black and Hispanic people in my high school. And so I was the minority. And this just seemed so weird to me. So I started getting very involved in politics, conservative politics. And I eventually found out about PragerU. And I decided to make a video for them on my campus where I went and interviewed women about the wage gap and what they think about it. And, of course, they all thought they were so oppressed. And I taught myself how to shoot the video, edit the video, send it to PragerU. They ended up loving the video. And long story short, they offered me a job. And I moved out of Denver, Colorado, moved to Los Angeles with no money, no anything, to start my career with PragerU. And that was about 6 years ago now.
Good for you. What did you do for PragerU?
I did a myriad of all sorts of things. Basically, when I started at PragerU, a lot of people still, you had heard of the 5-minute video.
Actually, let's go back. What does PragerU do? What are they? I'm sorry for interrupting, but let's just explain PragerU.
So if anyone hasn't heard of PragerU at this point, it is a digital media company. It's a nonprofit that puts out short videos on basically any topic that there is. So politics, history, religion, some science stuff, morals, ethics, family values, cultural issues, all these different things. And so when I started at PragerU, there was about 12 employees. I was, I think, the 12th employee and the youngest employee. And it was kind of just...
Oh, at 21, I'm sure.
Yeah, exactly. And so it was kind of just throw everything at the wall and see what sticks. It was very much a startup at that time. Now I don't work for PragerU anymore, but they grew by the time that I left to about 120 employees. Their growth was just insane. And so what I did for PragerU was make all sorts of videos for them. I had a show, a podcast that I did daily. I did all the Man on the Street videos that you guys might have seen, roughly about a billion views just on my videos alone from my PragerU videos. I directed and hosted a couple of short documentaries. I wrote a national best-selling book. I lectured around the world, actually, going into Europe and 48 out of 50 states going and speaking, and all sorts of other videos, social media content I did, just all sorts of different things that you could really do as someone, a young person in politics.
Let's talk about your culture shock when you're going to, as a sociology major in Colorado, at a university. Which university was that?
That was CU Boulder.
Okay. And... did you find that the atmosphere was degrading towards you because of your skin color?
Not so much because of my skin color. To be honest, Boulder's full of a lot of white kids,
mm-hmm.
so it didn't feel too degrading in that sense. You didn't get that from the overall student population, but you did get that from the teachers in the liberal arts studies. So you got that in the sociology classes. You got that in the creative writing classes. You got that from people saying, well, we got to study these books and we have to talk about inequality in America and these types of things. And basically putting issues that might deal more with, real historical facts on the wayside and saying, now we're going to focus on these race issues. We had a teacher in my school who said that if you go to a political event and you write a one-page paper on it, you get extra credit for the class. And so I went to a conservative event and I wrote about it and I submitted it to the teacher, and she said, no, this does not count. And I said, what do you mean this doesn't count? I went to a political event and wrote about it. She said, this is not an approved event, but there is an indigenous people's rally happening on campus in a week, and if you want to write about that, we would give you credit for it. So the double standard there at the American University is quite apparent for anyone who does not align with the dogma that is so prevalent at one of these colleges.
That's very, very sad and very telling and yet so true at times in our educational system. And that's one of the issues that really is prevalent and not in a good way, not in a good way. So you pack up and you go to L.A. Boy, I went to school in San Luis Obispo, just up the street, I call, about 200 miles north. And I always tried to avoid L.A. just because of the congestion and this. Just always tried to avoid L.A. What was it like living in L.A.?
Despite it being a leftist hellhole, I actually did like parts of L.A. for sure. It just felt like if you wanted to experience the world and culture and all sorts of cool things, you moved to L.A. So I did like that part about it, that it felt like there was always something to do, and the food was great in L.A., of course.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, I mean, the place was falling apart. There were homeless people everywhere. All of the horror stories that people see about California online, they are all true. I can attest to the fact that they are all true. Human defecation everywhere you went. Everything was so expensive. The people were mean. No one was very kind whatsoever to me, not just because of my politics. It was irrelevant of that. Just people were not very nice. It was just not a place where you wanted to be. To build a family.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It wasn't a place that you felt very warm. You know, now being in Florida, I feel everyone's so nice and compassionate, and it's such a great place to have a family and all that. But in L.A., in California, you just did not feel that whatsoever. There was no camaraderie between people. It was everyone for themselves. It was a dog-eat-dog world, and I really grew sick and tired of that.
You know, that's one of the best things about Fairbanks, Alaska, is we have a lot of camaraderie with each other. We're what I call a purple town, you know, where left meets right, right north meets south. We're a little hub of 30,000 in a borough of 90,000, and I just think that we get along here very well. We help each other out. It doesn't matter what your politics are. You know, when you're a Fairbanksan, it means something. It really does, in a good way. We're extremely Alaskan.
Yeah.
Well, we're gonna take a commercial break, and we're gonna be back. Okay.
Great.
And Fairbanks, if you have a call, if you have a question you want me to transmit to Will, give us a call at 907-458-TALK. That's 907-458-8255. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks Princess Riverside Lodge is now hiring for the upcoming summer season. Have you been interested in working in the restaurant business or the travel industry? Now you can do both. Join a team that has a love for travel and meeting new people. We are actively hiring line cooks at $20 per hour, sous chefs at $22 per hour, and servers at $14 per hour. Earn a free cruise based on contract completion. Go to alaskatourjobs.com and apply today. Our team is waiting for your application, and we're eager to speak with you.
Save now on Bridgestone and Firestone tires at GCR. Receive your Visa prepaid card of up to $70 when you buy a set of four eligible tires. All-terrain models for solid on- and off-road performance for your light truck and SUV, or touring models for superb highway handling for your car. Submit your rebate online. Receive your Visa prepaid card by mail. Shop now. Offer ends September 4th. Details at GCR Tires and Service. The Tire Guys. Taming the Alaskan Road. Van Horn at Cushman.
Stay informed of what's happening on the firearm scene today. Tune in to Shooter's Corner with your host, Laura Berkowitz, for news and conversation on guns, your Second Amendment rights, local events, and important legislation. Sponsored in part by Rogers Auto Repair. Rogers Auto Repair has been helping interior Alaskans care for their cars and trucks for nearly 50 years. From the same location near the airport on Dale Road, listen in to Shooter's Corner every Thursday morning at 11, right here on KFAR Radio.
Weather brought to you by the Eye Clinic of Fairbanks. Your eyes connect you to your world. Care for them with the Eye Clinic of Fairbanks, your eye health professionals on Mini Street.
KFAR Weather.
Partly cloudy skies today with a chance for isolated rain showers. High temperatures reach up to 49. South winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Lows around 27 tonight. Chance of snow showers. 47 tomorrow. Chance for mixed precipitation. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Derek Height.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. David Prues here, and I have Will Witt on the phone with me calling in from Florida. And you are the owner, founder, and operator of the Florida Standard that you started. Tell us about that online news paper.
So I started the Florida Standard as essentially an antidote to the media that you are seeing. Anyone who watches the news these days will know that Florida is basically the new conservative bastion in America, with Ron DeSantis leading the way. And if you were to come here, though, as a conservative, or, you know, move here from California, Chicago, New York, and see the media here, the Miami Herald, the Orlando Sentinel, any of these sorts of different outlets, you would think, wow, Florida must be a Democrat state. It must be heavily blue because of the media that's here.
Yeah.
It's obviously not the case. People are moving here for a reason. And so I kind of came in to basically say, I want to right side the media environment of Florida and show the truth about what's actually happening in the state. And so that's why I started the Florida Standard, a center-right publication that showcases the wins and victories that are actually taking place here, not just lambasting and loathing the things that are happening here.
You know, it's interesting. I have two older brothers, and one of them lives in Prescott, Arizona, my brother Danny, and a wonderful person. And he was telling me that Arizona has become a purple state because of the migration from California over.
Yeah.
And he goes, you know, they're all paying cash for their real estate and driving up the prices. And so I asked him, are they bringing their philosophies from California that they were fleeing into your state? He goes, oh yeah. You know, you come here trying to get away from that philosophy, yet here you bring it. Do you find that happening in Florida with the migration happening there?
Which is very funny because I hear that from people in Arizona, Nevada, Texas, all these places, even Idaho as well, that all these people from very left-wing places are moving to conservative states and they're ruining them and ruining the demographics of these places. But in Florida, it for some reason is not the case whatsoever. Florida seems to be the place that the conservatives in left-wing states are fleeing to the most, which I love. I'm all for politics.
Florida and Tennessee.
Yeah, and Tennessee as well. Tennessee seems to be right up there too. And
yeah.
So I'm very happy about it. You had 1.5 million more votes for Ron DeSantis over Charlie Crist in the last governor election, and that's just an insane margin that you wouldn't see if you had a bunch of left-wingers moving here.
You know, when you were interviewing students, how badly did it shock you that the answers that they were giving?
Well, I would think at the beginning when I first started out, I'd say, wow, this is crazy. I can't believe this. And as I started getting towards the end, it didn't get so shocking anymore because I had done it so many times. I mean, I had done hundreds of videos.
And you also saw the implementation of it from their teachers.
Well, of course, yeah. I mean, I remember I did a video where I dressed up as an Indian for Thanksgiving, and then I had my friend with me. He was a black pilgrim, and we were giving out pumpkin pie for Thanksgiving and asking people what they were thankful for. And this class came out and they assaulted me. They ripped off my costume. They death threats towards me, all sorts of quite horrendous things. And they ripped my headdress that I had. They ripped it off. And apparently they kept it in the classroom as an example of racism in America. And so this class still has my headdress at California State University, Northridge, that they immortalized as this racist act that I apparently took part in. So, I mean, this is the level of stupidity that takes place at these universities. So it's no wonder that these students have ideas that are so shallow and so tenuous.
Yeah, and I like what DeSantis did with the education system in Florida. They said, you will take these portions out that are not correct of these books. We're not banning books. We're taking portions out that are incorrect, and you will not teach this.
Exactly. And you should see the new legislation that just happened. I mean, now that apparent, what they call Don't Say Gay bill, mm-hmm. up to third grade, which is not obviously Don't Say Gay, but that's just the moniker that has been bestowed on it, is now going up to high school, which is, in my opinion, a very fantastic thing. They're passing legislation today that should be going through the House and Senate in Florida as well, that is banning all sorts of DEI courses and requirements at Florida universities. I mean, the things that are happening in Florida is just turning this state into the most conservative place on the planet, actually. Maybe Hungary is better at this point with Viktor Orban and what he's doing, but other than that, it seems Florida has really taken the vanguard of conservative values.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. In the state of Alaska, in the city of Fairbanks, we have, and maybe, I don't think in Anchorage, because that's you know, Anchorage is a subdivision of Portland, sadly. But they have a parents' educational rights bill that's going through both the state and city of Fairbanks. And one of my coworkers here down at the radio station, I asked her about it before I came on the air with you. And she, you know, she looked at me and she says, it's not needed, but needed. And I said, why is that? She goes, well, first of all, all the parents have rights and we adhere to those rights. But she gave me an example of this one parent is going absolutely over the line, nuts, you know, just physically. And, you know, and so it's, you have to put in standards where you can't, you know, you don't have the right to physically assault anyone in a school. So it's different out there. And my philosophy has always been, I look at this and I say to myself, hold it. The parent, it's a parent. The parent has every right, oversight, objective of their child. You cannot touch a child without a parent's permission. You cannot have, you know, if say they broke their arm in a school, you can't, and you're bringing them to the hospital, you got to get the parent's rights, the parent's permission to do anything that's, to, unless it's, you know, life-threatening, something like that. You don't get to touch the child. Yet here, you're having these policies where if they want to medically change a sex, you're sheltering the parent from knowing that. Where'd this come from?
Oh, it came from a long line of quite leftist and Marxist people throughout history who have made this happen. The Frankfurt School, Marcuse, I mean, Saul Alinsky, all these people who have pushed their bile on.
Yeah, Saul, what's the book that Saul wrote for everyone?
That's Rules for Radicals.
Yeah.
Which, you know, if you read that book and you see what he talks about, I think it's like, what, how many rules? 12 rules, something like that?
Yep.
The rules that are within that book, and it's...
And how to implement them, yeah.
Yes, exactly. You know, it seems quite evident that they have followed these rules pretty well, the left in this country, knowing that it's not so much about the facts and the logic and these kinds of things, that it is about power. And that's what the Rules for Radicals is all about. It's a book about power. That's what Marxism is, power. They don't need to adhere by the same standards of logic and reasoning that conservatives usually do, because they know that if they're the ones who are holding the truncheon, they're going to be the ones who are winning the battle. So, yes, they have been implemented quite well.
What's your thought of the direction that America is headed right now?
I'm quite worried for the direction of America, to be honest. I see it every day, and it gets worse and worse. I worry that politics itself is quite horrible, to be honest. I see politics as nothing but a business. It seems to be that...
Follow the money.
People on the left... Follow the money. I mean, both people on the left and right. I just put out an op-ed today that I wrote for my newspaper about how being a Republican doesn't make you a brave person. Being a truth teller makes you a brave person, but just because you're a Republican, there's nothing brave about that. What's brave is being someone with integrity. And so I worry about the future of this country, because no one really is talking about the issues that are really plaguing our nation to the degree that is actually degrading us to...
I look at our state government and how they aligned this year in the legislature, and you have Republicans with some Democrats, and you have in the majority in the House, and then you have the minority, which is all Democrats and a couple Republicans. But the way I see them lining up is the majority in our House is for basically a smaller government, less intrusion. And the majority, I mean the minority, the Democrats and a few Republicans, they believe government can cure all. And, you know, so there's some wonderful Democrats that I like, and there's some horrible Republicans that are odoriferous. And that's what I'm seeing is emerging in the world, or not in the world, in our state and in many states. That just, are you for, do you believe that government can cure all or fits all, or do you believe that manifest destiny of the individual and what they can do? And I'm a manifest destiny of the individual and what they can do. Whoops, sorry about that. So what we're going to do now, Will, we're going to go into our half hour break, which I'm going to leave some bumper music that you just heard there, and it's called from Cracker, White Angst or Teen Angst What. And then we're going to have some Fox News, some state news, some commercials, some weather, and then we'll be back. And when we come back, we'll continue our wonderful discussion, okay?
Sounds great. Yeah, everyone can go to the akfamily.org for tickets to see me on May 11th at 6 p.m., Pike's Waterfront Lodge as well, if you guys want to get tickets to come see me in Alaska.
Okay, and we'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
The Biden administration today announcing it will send 1,500 troops to the U.S. border with Mexico, as officials expect a migrant surge following the end of a pandemic-era health restriction on migration. The troops won't deal directly with migrants, but will be tasked with administrative duties.
This will free up Border Patrol agents to perform their critical law enforcement duties. I will also add that this would not be necessary if Congress would act.
White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre. The Justice Department today announcing its international effort to catch drug traffickers on the dark web.
Attorney General Merrick Garland says it has resulted in 288 arrests, the seizure of 117 illegal firearms, and $53 million in cash and cryptocurrency.
Fox's Tanya J. Powers. America is listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Alaska food banks are still inundated as state works to fix food stamp backlog. The Alaska Public Media reports that Southeast Alaska food bank patrons have doubled since last November. Director Chris Schaap said demand continues as high as it's ever been. A major driver has been the months-long backlog for the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, known as food stamps in the Division of Public Assistance. By his count, Southeast Alaska Food Bank is on track to distribute more than 500,000 pounds of food in Juneau this year, a record that reflects what it takes to feed about 450 people a week. It's been about 2 months since Governor Mike Dunleavy reallocated $1.7 million from other state programs to bolster depleted food banks and slake a growing statewide demand for food. This action was in response to the public disclosure of the food stamp backlog that left thousands of Alaskans waiting months for aid. On the House floor last week, Representative Elise Galvin said there's more work to do if Alaskans' most vulnerable residents are still hungry. She used a baseball analogy, a swing and a miss, to describe the state's response to the food
stamp
crisis.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
Affordable Used Cars is the only true one-stop shopping experience in Fairbanks. Affordable Used Cars has the largest inventory of pre-owned vehicles in the state. All makes and all models. That's right. Affordable has them all. Chevy, GMC, BMW, Kia, Ford, and more. The list goes on. No need to drive around all day or spend hours on the internet. Come by today for a test drive and be amazed at the selection and the affordable prices. Affordable Used Cars, located on South Cushman.
Arctic RV is a proud sponsor of Shooter's Corner, where you get the latest news and conversation in the world of guns, shooting, and your Second Amendment rights with your host, Laura Berkowitz. Get out and play in Alaska with help from Arctic RV. See them today for your next Jayco travel trailer or RV parts and service. Alaska plays rough, so rough it in style with Arctic RV. Listen each Thursday morning at 11 for Shooter's Corner right here on KFAR Radio.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Will Witt calling in from Florida. Now, what sort of content does your paper, the Florida Standard, look at and publish?
I would say the main thing that we're putting out is a lot of articles that have to do with what the governor's doing, cultural issues here in Florida. We're right now just finishing up the last week of a 60-day legislative session here in Florida, so we just I've been finishing that up as well, and all the new legislation and bills passing through. A lot of educational issues as well we're covering. I actually spoke at a couple of school board meetings as well, talking about some books that needed to be removed for pornographic imagery inside of them. So I would say these are the main issues that we're really focused on.
You know, I guess my standard is for a school library is if I can't say it on the air or you can't say it in a school board meeting, why can a student read it in your library? And you can have it at a public library.
That's quite exactly true. I mean, the thing is, they had this press conference with the governor, and he came and he showed these books, and the media cameras actually had to turn themselves off because of what was in these books. They were so graphic and pornographic that they couldn't have them be on the media. That is for adults to see, but apparently it's okay for children to be reading these things about Grindr, the gay sex app, and how to do anal sex and all these disgusting, horrible things that children have no business of knowing.
Yeah, or any type of sex, you know. It doesn't matter, gay, straight, bi, LGBTQ. These are graphic, pornographic things that are in a school library that you can't say on the air or publish or, you know, transmit. But it's have them in a public library. That's great. Have them on air, you know, for where they can be reviewed, read, whatever. But if you can't say it on the air when you're announcing it, why can you let a third grader read it?
Yeah. I mean, that's part of the reason why I went to these school board meetings to talk about it, because there is no excuse whatsoever. There is no excuse for a school board to allow these types of things in a school for children to read. The only reason why people would have it in there is for some strange leftist agenda where they want to push these things on children, because they know that if they push it on the children, then it can stick with them for the rest of their lives, because adults don't really want to believe these kind of things. This is how they get people.
Yeah. Let's talk about immigration coming into Florida. I've read a lot about the different issues that you're having there. And, you know, you're pushing back. Your governor is pushing back.
Yes, he is. And he's doing a fantastic job, I would say. And it's not just the governor. It is Ashley Moody, who is the attorney general of Florida. She filed a lawsuit, the state of Florida, against the Biden administration for the facilitation of children across the border. I mean, it's been an issue that has been really near and dear to the governor and the entire administration here. There's going to be some new legislation that's going to be passing in Florida any day now. I think it actually just passed today in the House and Senate, that it went through and just is waiting now the governor's signature. But it is going to require E-Verify to be mandatory for any job at any business that has over 25 employees, which is a huge step in the right direction to making sure that the people who are living and working in Florida are actually Floridians and not illegal aliens, as well as other standards when it comes to health care for illegal aliens and all sorts of different measures. It's going to be the strongest illegal immigration legislation in the nation.
I found it wonderfully humorous and sad that your governor and your state legislature did what a lot of this administration is doing to the different states and communities. They're taking illegal immigrants and relocating them to other, you know, towns in the Midwest, the West, you know, other locations away from the border, and they're busing them and air transporting them. So your governor did that to Martha Stewart, said, here you go, have a plane or two load full of these. And they howled.
Of course. They want them to be in places where they don't exist. They want them to be in places where the left isn't. They want them to be in places that's full of conservatives where they can have the moral pedestal of saying they care about these illegal aliens, but don't actually do anything to interact with them, help them, ever see them. They think that they are disgusting, really. That's what these leftists think of illegal aliens. They look down on them. That's why they want to cater to them and pander to them. But that's why they want to keep them out of their own communities, because they don't like them. They just want the moral points of saying, oh, yeah, I'd help them. So then when they get put in their own backyard, they all freak out and they say it's just the most disgusting, horrible thing ever that the governor could do. But really, he's just giving it back to them the best way that he could.
Do you think that the illegal aliens, illegal immigrants are getting more rights than American citizens?
I think there's a degree to that, of course. I mean, the fact that you can walk into essentially any hospital as an illegal alien and get health care that will be paid for by the taxpayer, it seems to be a pretty good benefit. I mean, the benefits that you get from the government, the taxes that you don't pay as an illegal alien seem to be quite good. You know, I think it makes a lot of people wonder in this country, why would I not just move to another country and get benefits and not have to be a citizen when being a citizen is so hard and you have so many other responsibilities, you know, and also especially the fact that it seems like illegal aliens in some circumstances are getting the right even to vote.
Yeah, that's what gets me. Hold it. You know, we have three rights: life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We don't, and that's by being a U.S. citizen. Membership has its rights. And we have a very good legal immigration system. Now, what other country in the world does not protect their borders? I mean, France does. Mexico does, unless you're immigrating through to the U.S. Canada, they're sort of getting tired of of our illegal immigrants getting up to them. You know, what other nation in the world does not protect its borders.
Well, that's what's so funny about it, because when you look at the budget that the federal government is rolling out and the things that they are proposing, you will see that money that they are allotting for this budget actually goes towards building walls and immigration systems in countries around the world. Apparently, it's racist to do it here in America, but to build it in Pakistan is completely fine and the right thing to do. And our tax dollars, yours and mine tax dollars, should be going towards building fences and walls in other countries around the world. You have no America if there is no difference between the word citizen and immigrant. You have no country. It's just an amalgamation of whatever these people want it to be.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah. About my second year on the city council, we had these people come in, and it was very, very planned and choreographed. And eight people came up and testified from different locations in the council chambers, and they wanted the city of Fairbanks to be what do you call it when you
sanctuary city.
Yeah. And eight of them, and boy, you know, and a couple city council members agreed with it. And within a day I got 170 emails saying, are you nuts? And so they asked, I was interviewed by the Newsminer, you know, why I was against it. And I said, well, first of all, you know, it's a slap in the face. We're a nation of immigrants, of legal immigrants. And it's a slap in the face of everyone who went through the process correctly, like my grandparents did. You know, my grandparents on my mom's side, they became U.S. citizens by serving, and my grandfather by serving in World War I and the Allied Expeditionary Force. And you're jumping the system here. And, you know, so that we have a great process for it. And yet this, and I'm never going to give a police officer instructions to break a law ever. And that's what this does.
That's exactly right. The word illegal is in illegal alien.
Yeah.
It is a crime. To say that people can come and be safe from their crimes is a complete destruction of what America is supposed to be, a place where people who commit crimes are punished accordingly by the law for the things that they do, and people who are good people are rewarded for the good things that they do. But you no longer have that. You have a place where good people are no longer rewarded and bad people are heralded as good. And that is why our country is so backwards.
Yeah, I was talking with a friend of mine last night, and he had his house was robbed a year ago, about $70,000 worth of stuff. And they caught the girl, you know, about a 22, 23-year-old girl who did it. And, you know, she got two years suspended, 3 years probation. She was out on $500 bail, you know, when she was apprehended. And, you know, he had insurance pay for most of it. And then he's telling me last night he was in town because she did it again. And he was addressing the court saying, hold it. You know, she violated her what she was supposed to do. And the public defender's office wants her to be out on $500 bail and say that she has, you know, she has family to help rehabilitate her. And he started filling in the blanks. No, the family doesn't want anything to do with her. She should go to jail for the 2 years from mine because she's going to do this again. And this is, you know, we're in the repeat offender list here. So why are you giving her more rights than me? And it seems like that happens with criminals, it seems like, nowadays.
Well, yeah, and it's not even just criminals. It's the, what is it, Jeremiah 12:1, why does the way of the wicked prosper? And you have Dr. Anthony Fauci getting a National Geographic movie made about him. You have Black Lives Matter getting nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize. How foolish is that? It seems like the people who do the worst in this country today are the ones who are heralded and the ones who are pushed to the highest levels of society. You have a backwards culture where we live in a post-virtue society, where virtue is no longer seen as something you should be striving for. It is seen as as an embarrassment, and you should be looking to be as sinful as possible and take advantage of every system. And if you do that, then you are a good little communist and put forward in the hierarchy of America.
True. Well, we're going to take a commercial break, and when we come back, we'll talk more, okay?
Great.
Fairbanks will be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Hello, Fairbanks. It's John Scherzer with the Westmark Hotel and Conference Center. The Westmark is currently seeking local talent to fill a variety of year-round and seasonal positions with our new competitive wages. Get paid over $20 an hour to work as a line cook. Looking to take the next step in the kitchen? Our sous chefs earn over $24 an hour. Start as a kitchen assistant and learn a new skill while making over $16 an hour. We have front of the house positions also. You can earn over $14 an hour bussing tables as a serving assistant. And for all you experienced servers out there, we're still looking for wait staff for all our dining venues. We have a number of other hotel positions. Our front desk team starts above $17 an hour. There is a variety of shifts available, both full-time and part-time. Apply online over at alaskatourjobs.com and see what we have available. That's alaskatourjobs.com. Apply today and become part of the Westmark crew.
Your miraculous eyes connect you to your world. Every moment, every task, every day of your life. They gather the light, the movement, and colors and bring your life into focus. They even express your deepest thoughts and feelings. Protect them. Call the Eye Clinic of Fairbanks, your team of ophthalmologists, optometrists, and opticians, providing medical and surgical eye care, fashion eyewear, and prescription lenses. The Eye Clinic of Fairbanks, your eye health professionals on Mini Street. Visit eyeclinicoffairbanks.com.
Weather brought to you by Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing, offering 24-hour service from Salcha to Nanana and no mileage charge on callouts. The Bigfoot with the helping hand. Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing.
KFAR Weather.
A mix of clouds and sun today with a chance for isolated rain showers. Highs level off around 49. South winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Chance for snow showers tonight. Lows dip down to about 27, partly cloudy. Mixed precipitation possible at times tomorrow. Highs around 47. Overcast skies. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. David Prues in the studio here with Will Witt. Now, Will, you're going to be up here next Wednesday, and you're speaking at Pike's Waterfront Lodge on behalf of the Alaska Family Council, I believe. And if people want to go to this, go to the alaskafamily.org to get tickets. And it's Thursday, not Wednesday. And that's why I can't be there, because I'll be in Anchorage on Thursday doing stuff for the city of Fairbanks. But it sounds like you have a very good format and program for conservative-based philosophies and discussions. You know, it's interesting here in Alaska. We have so many groups trying to influence what we do and how we do things up here. The environmentalists, they just want to shut down Alaska so bad, and I just get tired of it. But I have to remain steadfast in my fights against them. You know, they did not want to open up the Alaska National Wildlife Refuge. Has little place in there for oil. It's less than the size of the LAX International Airport. They did not want to open up the National Petroleum Reserve A, which stands for Alaska. And they don't want us to ever build a road, ever, in the state of Alaska. And you know, they think that we have more resources than any place in America, if not the world. And our resource development is better than any place in the world, cleaner than any place in the world, more stringent than any place in the world. And we've imposed that on ourselves. Yet anything we try, we have an environmentalist activist trying to shut down our mineral development and wealth.
Yeah. I can't say I know all of the ins and outs of everything going on in Alaska, but I can say that this is a worldwide issue where you have environmentalists trying to take advantage of situations and make sure that their issues are the only ones that are heard, and that if there is a tiny, tiny little fish that affects no part of the environment, but one fish might be moved from one lake to another lake, you can't have anything that is beneficial for humans. It has to be because of this little fish. I mean, the things that they do, the lengths they go to are extreme. The EPA needs to be completely, not maybe not disbanded, but at least reworked to make it an organization that actually works for the people and for the environment both at the same time.
I'm going to take a phone call, and again, you won't be able to hear what they say, and I'll try and relay it to you, okay?
Right.
Okay, here we go. Good morning. You're on KFER Radio, and your name is?
This is Charles, Dave. I got a reference to St. Simon and Auguste Comte. Logical positivism is their philosophy. Logical positivism. And it's bad news, but it's pre-Marx, and if you'd mention that name.
What's that name again?
St. Simon.
St. Simon.
And Auguste Comte.
Logical
positivism.
Logical positivism. Okay. Wow.
Positivism.
Okay.
Positivism.
Charles, I appreciate you. Have a great day, buddy. Oh. Interesting. I know you didn't hear any of that. Well,
no, I did not.
And I apologize for that. It's again, I'm working with this North Korean equipment here. And anyway, what the heck. But, and what got me was, I was in this, this is, you know, when I was in my early 30s, as an Anchorage for some business, a real estate broker. And I'm in this attorney's firm waiting area. And I'm reading, there's all these environmentalist magazines there. And they're showing this photo in this one article of a wolf eating a doll sheep, beautiful, full ram. You know, about an 8-9-year-old ram. And it's in this very, very shallow, shallow stream. And what they were saying was the wolf is mainly a carrion eater, and this sheep died by drowning in the stream. and the water's maybe a half inch deep. And I just looked at it and I said, oh my God, that's purposeful misinformation right there.
That sounds about right. Look, there are ways to preserve the wolf population and be able to have hunters protect their stock and have laws to do so where they can take out wolves that they need to. But it seems like the environmentalists don't really want to listen to those kinds of solutions. I mean, there are places across the country where we have seen wolf populations specifically rise up because of environmental efforts. And because then they were left uncontrolled, they started eating livestock. There's a way to do it that is beneficial to both the animals and people.
Very true. Very true. So what are some of the next issues you're going to be writing about with your newspaper?
Well, I think what's going to be happening next is, as I'm sure everyone here kind of knows, is that Ron DeSantis will most likely, after legislative session, be announcing his run for president in 2024. And I think that we are going to be pretty busy with everything happening there. You know, I don't know how the fight's going to shape up between him and Trump, him and Biden, and how he's going to convince the American people that he is the best candidate for the job. But I think that the track record he has in Florida right now is quite stellar. And I think that if he wants to attract the people of the rest of the country, he needs to really highlight the victories he's had here and make sure that people know that this is what is best for the rest of the country. It's not just a Florida blueprint. It is a America blueprint.
Ready for a phone call? Yeah. I know you're not going to hear what they say, but I'll try and interpret, okay? Good morning. You're on KFER Radio, and your name is?
Randy.
Hello, Randy. Remember, I have to interpret for you because Will can't hear you. So go ahead. What's your thought or question?
I understand he's down in Florida and looked at the Florida legislature, and I was wondering, does the Florida legislature have either a bill or a law that tries to redefine sex as sexual orientation, gender identity, or expression, which is...
Okay, hold on. You're getting too deep for me. Let me relay some of this. Does the Florida legislature have a law that tries to redefine, start there, sexual orientation or identification? Go ahead, Randy.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Yeah, they're trying in Alaska. There is a bill, HB 99, that takes a sneaky approach, in my view, a sneaky approach.
Well, okay, I don't want to hear about that. I can't interpret all that for him, so I'm going to give Will that question. Okay, I only got about 4 minutes left. I appreciate your phone call, and we'll see if Will has Florida legislature has anything like we have up here. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you. Will, does the Florida legislature have any bill or legislation in regards to sexual identification of an individual? And how can they say they're one thing and not be that thing?
I think it depends on the context of exactly what you mean. Obviously, if anyone on the street, if I wanted to today in Florida say that I'm a woman, I could do so legally. You know, I could say whatever I am that I want to, but that doesn't mean that I am legally a woman. It just means that I have the freedom to be able to say that I want to. We do have in Florida a bill that is going through, and actually will be pushed to third reading tomorrow, about a Florida bathroom legislation, which will make it that regardless of what you say you are, based on your sex at birth, that is the bathroom that you have to use. So there are protections in place here in Florida, but again, people still have freedom to say, I guess, whatever they would like.
What about women in sports? Any issues with going on with that?
Yes, I believe there is already legislation in Florida that bars these types of things in up to high school.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that bars these things in competitions from biological men or women competing in the opposite sex just because they say they're transgender in sports. So, yes, that is already on the table.
Yeah, it's an interesting few years, isn't it?
Too interesting.
Sadly so. Sadly so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Goodness gracious. It, wow. Anyway, hey. So we got about 2 minutes left. How do you want to end it, sir?
I would just say, everyone, if you want to come see me speak here in Alaska, the best thing to do is to go to akfamily.org for tickets to see me. It's May 11th at 6 p.m. There's dinner at Pike's Waterfront Lodge. Once again, that's akfamily.org to get tickets. You can follow my website, The Florida Standard, at theflstandard.com, and then all social media at The FL Standard or at The Will Witt. You can find all of my own social media as well.
How long are you in Fairbanks for?
I think I'm in Alaska for a week. I think I'm only in Fairbanks for a day or two, something like that. But I'm in Alaska for a week, going to be spending some time up there and doing some things as well.
Well, good for you. You know, you're coming not in the best time. It's what we call our in-between season of, you know, we don't have any leaves yet, and we just about got done all the snow gone. So it's sort of stark, and we haven't gone out to pick up all the trash that blew around over the winter, and we're going to be doing that. But there's one thing I want you to appreciate. You know, when you're in Fairbanks, talk to Fairbanksons, and you're going to get every different attitude, oversight, view, opinion, and it's. I really think it's the people of Fairbanks that makes us such a great location, a great place to live. We have the highest density per proportion of retired military in the nation that migrate back or migrate to the Fairbanks area because it's just what they like, and we have so many wonderful people up here. So you're going to meet a lot of people, you're going to enjoy a lot of people, and you're only up here for about a week or so in Alaska. But when you're in Fairbanks, remember Fairbanks is extremely Alaskan in many, many ways. So I appreciate you being on the show. You have a great day down there, and success to you and your endeavors with your paper, and enjoy your stay in Alaska, okay?
I definitely will. Thank you so much, and I'm excited to meet everyone and talk to everyone. God bless you guys.
Thank you. Fairbanks, you have a great day, and I will see you tomorrow.